نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Man is afraid, belongs to Allah, we praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His slave servant and His messenger. We would like to continue our discussion this afternoon concerning the rights of the husband and the wife in Islam. And in the previous lectures, we discussed some of the rights of the woman in Islam, the rights of the wife. And the last few lectures, we began to discuss also some of the rights of the man or the husband in the Islamic marriage. Of the rights of the man, we mentioned that the man has the right of leadership in the family, and he has the right to be obeyed by his family. As well, he has the right to prevent anyone whom he is displeased with from entering his home without his permission, and he has the right to prevent his wife from leaving his home without his permission except for necessity. Also amongst the rights of the husband, we mentioned that his wife should not fast a voluntary fast, yani outside of the fast of Ramadan, outside of the obligatory fast. She should not perform any voluntary fasting without his permission while he is present. And also we said that one of the rights, or the last of the rights that we mentioned of the husband, is that he has a right that his wife should be thankful to him for whatever he gives her and does for her, and that she shouldn't pressure him or push him or burden him beyond his ability to provide her with those things that are not needs, but are merely wishes or desires. Also, from the rights of the men is that whenever he requests his wife to be with him in order to enjoy marital relations, then she is required to respond to him. But she shouldn't prevent herself or keep herself back from him if he calls her. And this is so that he might protect himself from falling into disobedience to Allah, from falling into any act that Allah has forbidden, but instead he should fulfill his natural desires in the lawful way as Allah has legislated. And this is one of the most important rights of the husband, especially if we consider that if the woman prevents herself from her husband, it might lead him to falling into that which is haram. Perhaps he might see something while he is out working, providing for his family. He might see a woman that is pleasing to him. And that, in that case, he should do that which is lawful. He should fulfill his desires and meet his desires in that way which is lawful. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said in an authentic hadith that is collected by Imam Muslim rahimahullah on the authority of Jabir رضي الله عنه, he said that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, إذا رأى أحدكم المرأة التي تعجبه فليرجع إلى أهله حتى يقع بهم فإن ذلك معهم. But if a man sees a woman that is pleasing to him, then he should go back to his family, to his own wife, that he might fulfill the desire that he needs to fulfill. For verily, whatever he sees in that woman, also it is with his wife. So also it has been reported in another hadith, in the Sunan of Ad-Darimi, the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, رضي الله عنه, he said, رأى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم امرأة فأعجبته. And it happened actually in the lifetime of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that he saw a woman that was attractive to him. And the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he was a human being. Like any other man, he had natural physical desires. And he was our example of how to fulfill those desires in the way that's pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he saw a woman that was attractive to him. فَأَتَى سَوْدَةً وَهِيَ تَصْنَعُ قِيبًا وَعِنْدَهَا نِسَاءً. When that happened, he went to his home. He went to his wife, Sauda رضي الله عنها, in order to fulfill the natural desire that was aroused in him at the sight of that woman. When he went to her, she was preparing tea, like scent or something, and also in her presence were yet other women were with her. فَأَخْلِينَهُ فَقَضَى حَاجَتُهُ ثُمَّ قَالَ أَيُّمَا رَجُلٌ رَأَى إِمْرَأَةً تُعْجِبُهُ فَلْيَقُلْ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ فَإِنَّ مَعَهَا الَّذِي مَعَهَا. On that occasion, when he went to his wife Sauda, she excused herself from those who were present with her, and she went alone with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to allow him to fulfill his need. And afterwards, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam announced to the people later concerning such an incident as he himself experienced it. Then he guided the people what they should do. According to what he did, he told them the same, that if any man sees a woman which is attractive or pleasing to him, then he should go to his family, to his wife, for verily, whatever he saw attractive in that woman, it is also with his wife. This is the Islamic Sharia, the Sharia al-Islamiyya, which actually guides the human being in all aspects of life. As we always say, Islam is not necessarily that which is commonly referred to as a religion, in the sense that it is understood by the Western mind. But in fact, Islam is a way of life, a complete way of life that not only guides the human being in religious rituals, what might be considered religious matters, but it guides the human being in every aspect of their life, whether public or private, government, social, political, economic, and so on. And so here, even in the minutest matters and the most private of matters, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a guide for us, and he informed us and taught us what to do on those occasions, so that we would not fall into that which is displeasing to Allah, but instead would do that which is pleasing to Allah. The woman, if she understands what Allah has legislated, she would seek to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by obeying His commands and obeying the commands and the instructions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is an instruction that came from Allah through the guidance of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that a woman is required to observe in her life. It is important that these be understood, appreciated, and accepted. Because part of Islam is submitting to that which Allah ordered us to do, whether we understand it or not, or whether we might be pleased with it or not. It is recorded in the Sahih of Al-Bukhari and Muslim, rahimahumullah, may Allah have mercy on them, in the hadith of Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu, that which makes us to know what is the result or the consequence of this obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, particularly in the matter of the right of the husband to enjoy his wife in marital relations at any time that there is a need for doing so. He said, that is Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ, I swear by the one in whose hand is my life. I swear by Allah, the one in whose hand is my life. مَا مِنْ رَجُلٍ يَدْعُوا إِمْرَأَتَهُ إِلَىٰ فِرَاشِهَا فَتَعْبَى عَلَيْهِ إِنَّا كَانَ الَّذِي فِي السَّمَاءِ سَاحِتًا عَلَيْهَا حَتَّى يَرْضَ عَنْهُ. After swearing by Allah to make us to know the seriousness of that statement which is coming, he said that there is not a man who calls his wife to her bed, to be with him alone, to enjoy marital sexual relations with her, and she refuses him. She disobeys him. She refused to come to him, except إِلَّا كَانَ الَّذِي فِي السَّمَاءِ, except that the one who is in the heavens, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, سَاحِتًا عَلَيْهَا, that he will be angry with her حَتَّى يَرْضَى عَنْهَا, until her husband is pleased with her. Yani until her husband is pleased with her coming to him and obeying him. In another narration of that hadith, it is reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا دَعَى الرَّجُلُ إِمْرَأَتَهُ إِلَىٰ فِرَاشِهِ فَأَبَتْ أَنْ تَجِيَ. There is a man calls his wife or invites his wife to his bed, and she refuses to come to him. فَبَاتَ غَدْبَانَ عَلَيْهَا, and he spends the night angry with her because she refused to come to him. If that happened, that any man invited his wife and he spent the night angry because she disobeyed him and refused to come to him, لَعَنَتْهَا الْمَلَائِكَ حَتَّى تُصْبِحَ أَوْ حَتَّى تَرْجِعَ, then the angel would curse her until morning or until she returned to him. This is very serious, and we should consider carefully this matter so that we do not allow shaitan, for whatever reason, to deceive us, to blind us, and to cause us to do that which is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and earn the wrath of Allah, the anger of Allah, and the curse of the malaika, the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made us to know the seriousness of the matter. It is to the extent that if a woman is called by her husband, she should answer without delay. Not in her own time, when she feels like it. Later on, I'm busy now. Whatever it may be that she is engaged in, but she is to respond to him, as has been made very clear in the authentic hadith, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us, as it is reported in the Sunan of At-Tirmidhi on the authority of Talq ibn Ali radiallahu anhu, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا دَعَى الرَّجُلُ زَوْجَتَهُ لِحَاجَتِهِ فَلْتَأْتِهِ وَإِنْ كَانَتْ عَلَى التَّنْوُورِ. But if a man calls his wife to fulfill his needs, then she must come to him, even if she was baking, even if she was at the stove baking bread.
consider how the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't allow for the woman whose husband has called her to fulfill his needs, that he didn't allow her to delay, even if she was in the state busy baking bread and that bread would burn. It didn't matter. It was more important that she should obey her husband as Allah has ordered us to do, and as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made us to know, it is one of the obligations and one of his rights. Also, although we didn't talk about it, but at least we should mention in passing, perhaps we should mention in detail, not in passing. It might be misunderstood. It is also, and only due to time, but no matter, we should mention in detail. It is also, reciprocal that the woman has a right for her husband to fulfill her marital rights. And of her marital rights also is that her physical needs should be recognized and fulfilled. In fact, some of the scholars of the past and the present, even though they agree that the woman has the right that her husband should fulfill her sexual needs, but they differ about the condition of the man who, for whatever reason, physically or otherwise, was unable to fulfill her needs completely and properly. And some of them said, as did a Shaykh Abu Bakr al-Jiza'i, Hafidhahullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, in his book, Manhaj al-Muslim, the methodology or the way of the Muslim, he said that it is obligatory on the man to fulfill the marital need of the woman, of his wife, at least one time in every 4 months, if he was unable to fulfill her needs, completely and totally. And this is based on the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 226, that the woman, that they shouldn't, that they should wait 4 months. And in the waiting period is 4 months if their husbands separated from them or left them or was without them. This, he understood from this, that the man should not leave his wife for any reason for more than 4 months, that he has to, at least within the period of 4 months, and he come to his wife and fulfill her physical or sexual needs. Some of the scholars said no, that not that long, but at least once in every month, and this is the opinion of Ibn Hazm, rahimahullah, the Imam of the Zahiri Madhab, and he said that at least once in a month, the man has to fulfill the sexual needs of his wife as is understood or could be understood. Otherwise, he is in disobedience to Allah, as understood from the ayah in Quran, فَإِذَا تَطَهَّرْنَا فَأْتُوهُنَّ مِنْ حَيْثُ أَمَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ, that whenever the woman is free from her menses cycle, her menstrual bleeding, and she purifies herself, then the man is ordered to come to her, to be with her, as Allah has ordered him to do. He understood from this that at least once in the month, a month should go by except that a man goes to his wife and fulfills her needs, her sexual or marital needs. And that this is an obligation on the man as long as he is not physically incapable or due to sickness or some other incapacity. It is also understood from the hadith that's reported by Al-Imam Ibn Hibban in his Sahih on the authority of Abu Musa radiallahu anhu. He said, a woman was a woman, the wife of Uthman ibn Mad'un, came to the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she was in a very bad condition. Her outward appearance was not very attractive. And they said to her, Ma laki, what's with you? يعني why are you in this condition? ما في قريش رجل أدنى من بعدك. That there is no man amongst the Quraysh tribe who is more wealthy than your husband. But her clothing were in such a way that it appeared as though she was in a bad condition, not doing well. While her husband was a rich man, she said, مَا لَنَا فِيهِ شَيْءٍ. We have nothing from him, or we have no rights over him, or nothing. He doesn't have a need for us. أَمَّا نَهَارُهُ فَصَائِمٌ وَأَمَّا لَيْلَهُ فَقَائِمٌ. As for the daytimes, he is fasting always. And as for the night times, he is standing in prayer always. قال فذكر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فذكرت ذلك له فلقيه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال. At that time the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم came and they mentioned to him what was said. So when he saw Uthman, he said to him, Ya Uthman, أما لك فيا أسوة, يعني isn't there in me an example or a model for you? Don't you follow my example? The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to Uthman. He asked him, Uthman said, يعني what are you talking about? وَمَا ذَاكَ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ فَذَاكَ أَبِي وَأُمِّي. May Allah sacrifice or take as a sacrifice my father and my mother, O Messenger of Allah. What is it? What do you mean? What have I done? The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to him, أَمَّا أَنْتَ فَتَقُومُ اللَّيْلِ وَتَصُومُ النَّهَارِ. Your situation is that you stand the whole night in prayer and you fast every day. وَإِنَّ لِأَهْلِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا. But verily your wife, your family have rights over you. وَإِنَّ لِجَسَدِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا. And your body also has rights over you. صَلِّي وَنَمْ. Pray part of the night and sleep also. وَصُمْ وَأَفْتِرْ. Fast sometimes and break fast sometimes. This was the sunnah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Not to go to the extreme of anything. To pray in the night and also to sleep. And to fast sometimes and also to break fast. The narrator said, فَأَتَتْهُمْ الْمَرْعَى بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ وَكَأَنَّهَا رُوسٌ. فقيل لها ما قالت أصابنا ما أصاب الناس. After that occasion of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم advising Uthman رضي الله عنه and guiding him and instructing him how he should act, it happened that his wife came to the ladies again, and it was as though she was a newlywed. She was bright and attractive and looking nice. And they said, what has happened to you? She said that what has happened to me is what happened to the other people. And now I'm living a normal life. My husband is treating me like I'm his wife. Now, and there are other hadith like this. It is sufficient to mention this one, just to indicate the fact that also the woman has rights. The man and woman, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that the woman is the other half of the man, and in general, the man and woman have similar needs, and that's why Allah says in the Quran that their rights, that the women also have rights similar to those that are upon them. Now, also on the rights of the husband is that about which there is a great controversy. It is the khidmah or the service, the right of his wife to serve him in the home, to service his home, to take care of the house, the children, and so on. Of the rights of the husband is that the woman is responsible for the maintenance and supervision and care of the home, and those things related to the family life inside the house, such as cooking and cleaning the house and cleaning the cooking utensils and other such things that are necessary within the home. between in that home in which there is a married couple, and that the marriage life is not completed except with these things. This service of the woman in the home is one of the objectives of marriage life. When a man gets married, then many of the things that he perhaps neglected or had to do for himself, he expects now to go out and work hard to take care of his family while his wife is at home taking care of the home. Now, in exchange for him going out and working hard, he expects that she will be at home also, likewise, working hard. And those who said that the woman doesn't have any obligation to provide household services, then in fact this opinion is far from the truth. No doubt, the woman is expected to provide a certain degree of tranquility and peace and relaxation, so that when a man goes out and works hard and he returns home, he finds a place of rest, a place of peace, and a place of tranquility. It has been reported in the Sahih of Muslim, as well as in the Sahih of Bukhari, and the Sunan of Abu Dawud, and At-Tirmidhi, and the Musnad of Imam Ahmed, on the authority of Abdullah ibn Umar, radiallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَلَا كُلُّكُمْ رَاعٍ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْعُورٌ عَنْ رَاعِيَتِهِ. Isn't it so that every one of you is ra'in, responsible, and every one of you will be held accountable for that which is under your care. فَالْإِمَامُ الْعَعْظَمُ الَّذِي عَلَى النَّاسِ رَاعٍ وَهُوَ مَسْعُورٌ عَنْ رَاعِيَتِهِ. The Imam, or the leader of the people, the national leader, or the tribal leader, the head of the nation, who is over the people, is a ra'in, and he will be accountable for those under his care. وَالرَّجُلُ رَاعٍ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ بَيْتِهِ وَهُوَ مَسْعُولٌ عَنْ رَاعِيَتِهِ. And a man is also responsible for his family, the people of his home, and he will be accountable, or he will be asked about those under his care. وَالْمَرْأَةُ رَاعِيَةٌ. And also the woman is a ra'iya ala ahli bayti zawjiha wa waladihi. She is the one who is responsible for the people in the home of her husband and his children. Wa hiya mas'oola anhum. And she will be called to account for them. To the end of the hadith, as it was reported in Al-Bukhari. Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir, or Al-Hafiz Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, rahimahullah, concerning this, says that the responsibility of the woman is for management of the affairs of the house and the children and service in the home and advising her husband. All of this is part of her ra'iyya, or that which she is responsible for. Also, the great Indian scholar Al-Mubarak Puri, rahimahullah, in his commentary on the Sunan of At-Tirmidhi, discussed this hadith as it was reported by Al-Imam At-Tirmidhi, rahimahullah, and he said that the woman is responsible for the people in the house of her husband and his children. It means that she should try to do well in managing the affairs of the family, of the life in the home, and she should be an advisor to him, and she should be compassionate and trustworthy, and she should protect herself and his wealth and his children and his guests. This is also supported by the hadith which we mentioned previously, reported by Al-Imam Ahmed in his Musnad and in the Sunan of An-Nasa'i, the hadith of Husayn ibn Muhsan radiallahu anhu, about the woman who came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about some matter that she wanted to discuss with him. And after she finished discussing with him what she came for, he asked her, was she married? And she said yes. and he said, "How are you with your husband?" He finally, after she responded by saying that she didn't neglect to fulfill any of his rights unless she was unable to do so, he said, "Anzuri ayna anti minhu fa innama huwa jannatuk wa narak." He said, "Consider what is your relationship to your husband. Well, he is the means or the way or the cause for you to enter paradise or the hellfire." And Shaykh Muhammad Nasruddin Al-Albani, hafidhahullah, in his book concerning marriage, says that this particular hadith, after he mentioned it, he said that it is clear in its indication that it is obligatory on the woman to obey her husband and also to serve him within the bounds of her ability, according to her ability. And there is no doubt that obeying her husband and serving him, yani included in that, and of the most important of those things that are included in such, is service in the home and those things which are related to care of the children and other such matters. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, in his legal rulings al-Fatawa, says that the scholars have differed. There is a great difference of opinion amongst the scholars concerning this issue of whether or not the woman is required to service the home of her husband, to take care of his children, and to take care of his needs in the home. The scholars differ about it, about these matters, and some of them held the opinion that it is not obligatory for the woman to provide service in the home. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah says that this opinion is a weak opinion, like the opinion of those who say that it is not obligatory for the man to fulfill the sexual rights of his wife. This opinion is a weak opinion, as for sure these things are naturally expected and known to be part of marriage. In fact, even the one who accompanies you on a journey, your companion in a journey, if that person isn't willing to assist and cooperate and help you in those things that are in your interest during the journey while you're traveling together, then he wouldn't be considered as a good companion. Then what about your wife, who is your lifelong companion in your journey through this world until you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The other opinion, which is the correct opinion, says Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, is that it is obligatory for the woman to provide al-khidmah or service to her husband in the home. Because the husband is the leader of the family, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us to know when he said, "Ar-rijal qawwamuna 'ala an-nisa," that the men are the leaders. They are the heads, they are the protectors and maintainers and providers over the women. So the men being the leaders of the family, and this is as it is in the Quran, and as well it is clearly indicated in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called the women by the name Al-Ani, that they are the captives of men. So fear Allah in reference to those who are in your captivity. It made us to know that the men are the leaders, the heads of the family, and they should be obeyed. From amongst those who said that the man is entitled to service from his wife in the home, there were two different opinions. Amongst them are those who said that it is obligatory on the woman to provide light services, yani small things in the home, and the other opinion was that the service that the woman is expected to provide in the home is that which is well known, yani that which is normally expected of a woman in the society to do in the home. Yani what all people know that the woman normally does at home, and generally in the normal societies, not necessarily in the Western society, where the woman is like a man and she doesn't do anything. But in the normal societies or in the Islamic societies, where the woman, it is known that the woman is expected to take care of the children, to clean the house, to cook, and so on. Such things that are well known in the society, this is what the woman is expected to provide, yani what it is obligatory on the woman, the service to provide in the home. And this is the correct opinion, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah says. So that she should provide the services that a woman in her position, in her society, normally provides for her husband without question or any discussion. And that might differ according to the circumstances. As he says, an example of the difference of the services, how the services might differ in specifics, but not in general. In general, the woman does those things that are known, but in specifics it might differ. For example, the Bedouin woman, the services that she provides in the desert life is maybe different than the woman who lives in the city. And so also, a woman that is strong and healthy, what she provides for her husband might be different than the woman who is weak or sick. Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah, also discussed this topic in detail, and I just took a small quote from what he said in his book Zad al-Ma'ad concerning the issue of service of the woman of her husband in the home. And he discussed the different opinions of the scholars concerning such, and then he says that those who argued that it is obligatory on the woman to provide service to her husband in the home. And this is what is well known. This was what was well known amongst the people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was addressing when he addressed the Muslims. In the Quran, the people whom he was addressing at that time, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, both men and women, it was well known what was the service that was expected of a woman in the home, in her marriage life. As for the man seeking to make the woman comfortable and happy and fulfilling her needs and pleasures, and not expecting anything in return on the side of the woman to meet what he is providing her with, then this is not what is well known. It is not well known that the man is the one who cleans the house and washes the dishes and washes the clothes and cooks the food and takes care of the children. This was not well known in the society of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was addressing when he said, وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, that the women have rights similar to that which is upon them, the obligations that are upon them. This is what Allah addressed to the people in that time, and they understood very well what was the rights of the women that was similar to the obligations that are upon them. And also the saying of Allah, الرِّجَالُ قَوَّمُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ, it was addressed to that society at that time, and they understood well what it meant that the men are the leaders, that they are the maintainers and protectors of women. So if the woman doesn't serve her husband, but in fact he is the only one providing service, then this is not what we understood or what we expected from the wife in marriage in Islam. Ibn Qayyim further says that it is not proper to make a distinction between the women of high status and the women of low status, to make a distinction between the poor woman and the rich woman. For in fact, what is known to have been accepted and widespread, the practice that was amongst the most noble and the most honorable women of this world, and that is the wives of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is that they serve their husbands. It is well known that they serve their husbands. And it has been reported that Fatima radiallahu anha, the daughter of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, complained to her father, asking for a servant due to the amount of work that she was doing at home. She complained to him. It's reported in Al-Bukhari that Fatima came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam تشكو إليه ما تلقى في يدها من الرحى. She complained to her father صلى الله عليه وسلم about يعني the problems that she was having, what was happening to her hands from the work that she was doing with the stone, يعني the mill that they used to crush the seeds or the to make wheat, to make flour. She came to complain to her father صلى الله عليه وسلم because it had come to her knowledge that some slave girls had come under the care or possession of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she wanted to ask that he would give her one. But when she didn't find him, she informed Aisha radiallahu anha of what she came for. And when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned, Aisha radiallahu anha informed him. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to her, he went to her home, and when he came there, Ali radiallahu anhu, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to us while we were in bed, and we got ready to get up, but he told us, stay in your places. Then he sat between me and her, and I could feel the coolness of his feet on my chest. He said, أَلَا أَدُلُّكُمَا عَلَى خَيْرٍ مِنَّا سَأَلْتُمَا. Shall I not point you to or guide you to that which is better than what the two of you are asking for, any better than the servant that you are asking for to reduce the work that she is doing in the home? He said, shall I not inform you of that which is better than that? He said, إِذَا أَخَذْتُمَا مَضَاجِعَكُمَا أَوْ أَوَيْتُمَا إِلَى فِرَاشِكِمَا. If you went to bed or get ready to go to sleep, فَصَبِّحَا ثَلَاثًا وَثَلَاثِينَ وَأَحْمَدَا ثَلَاثًا وَثَلَاثِينَ وَكَبِّرَا أَرْبَعًا وَثَلَاثِينَ. That when you prepare to go to sleep, then you should say, Subhanallah 33 times, Alhamdulillah 33 times, and Allahu Akbar 34 times, فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمَا مِنْ خَادِمٍ. To do so is better for the both of you than to have a servant. This hadith was reported by Al-Imam al-Bukhari under the chapter heading Bab Amal al-Ma'ati fi Bayti Zawjiha, the work that a woman does in the home of her husband. Yani Al-Imam Bukhari, as we know, and we said it many times, he used to make the title, the headings of the chapters according to the fiqh that he understood from the hadith that he was narrating. And Imam al-Bukhari is considered by the scholars of Islam not only to be an imam in hadith, but an imam in fiqh. He was a scholar, one of the great imams of fiqh, and the fiqh that he understood from this hadith was the work that a woman does in the home of her husband. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't tell Ali, get her a servant. You are required to provide her with a servant, or you do the work. But he told them, say Subhanallah 33 times, Alhamdulillah 33 times, and Allahu Akbar 34 times, and that's better than what you're asking for the servant. This makes us to know that the work that Fatima radiallahu anha, the daughter of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the work she was doing, which was bruising her hands, and it was so difficult for her that she went to ask for a servant, but her father, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, didn't tell her that you are not required to do this work. But he told her, just say Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, and Allahu Akbar before you go to sleep, you and your husband both, and this is better for you than what you are asking for. Also, Al-Imam Bukhari narrated the same hadith in the following chapter, immediately following this one, Bab Khadim al-Mar'a, the chapter entitled The Servant for a Woman. And here the scholars, Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, said the meaning of this chapter heading is Bukhari is asking, is it legislated, is it required that a man should provide his wife with a servant to do the work in the house instead of her doing it? And Al-Imam Bukhari answered his chapter heading by narrating the hadith of Fatima, the hadith of Ali radiallahu anhu, when Fatima radiallahu anha asked her father for a servant, and he didn't and you respond by saying you're entitled to a servant, or that your husband should provide you with a servant, but he responded by telling them to praise Allah and to glorify Allah before going to sleep. And the time is running out, and there's one other hadith which is very important that I will just mention quickly, the hadith of Asma bin Abi Bakr radiallahu anhum. May Allah be pleased with them. That is Asma, as well as her father Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhum. This hadith is reported by Al-Bukhari, a Muslim, and it, in its detail, she was the husband of Al-Zubayr ibn Al-Awwam radiallahu anhu, one of the 10 people promised paradise. And she was the sister of Aisha radiallahu anha. It is reported in Al-Bukhari and Muslim that Asma bin Abi Bakr radiallahu anha, she said that Al-Zubayr married me and he didn't have at that time any wealth, nor any possession, any slave or anything, except he had a camel and he had a horse. And I used to feed his horse, and I used to provide water, and I used to sew the bucket that he fetched water from the well with, and I used to make the dough for bread, and I didn't used to make bread well. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wassalatu wassalam ala rasulil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. We would just like to take a few moments, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, to continue the topic, or to close, or to finish this topic, and then take the questions before leaving. The hadith that we were reading at the time of the adhan for Maghrib is the hadith reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim from Asma bint Abi Bakr radiallahu anha. May Allah be pleased with her. And she said that Al-Zubayr radiallahu anhu married her, and at the time of their marriage, he didn't have anything, any wealth, or slaves, or any possession other than a camel and his horse. She said, I used to feed his horse, father, and I used to fetch the water, and I used to sew the bucket that we drew water with, and she used to prepare the dough for bread. Then she said, وَلَمْ أَكُنْ أُحْسِنُ أَخْبِزُ وَكَانَ يَخْبِزُ جَارَاتٌ لِي مِنَ الْأَنْصَارِ. That I wasn't very well good at making bread, but some of my neighbors from the Ansari girls, they used to make the bread for us. وَكُنَّ نِسْوَةَ الصِّدْقِ. And they were very good women, يعني honorable women. وَكُنْتُ أَنْكُلُ النَّوَى مِنْ أَرْضِ الزُّبَيْرِ الَّتِي أَقْطَعَهُ الرَّسُولُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَلَى رَأْسِهِ. And I used to carry the date stones from the land that was leased out to Al-Zubayr, or given to him to use or to utilize. I used to carry the date stones from his land on my head. وَهُوَ مِنِّي عَلَى ثُلُثَي فَرْسَخ. And that land was approximately the distance, يعني, which is equivalent to about 2 miles. يعني, two-thirds of a farsakh is equivalent to about 2 miles of present standards. فَاجِعْتُ يَوْمًا وَالنَّوَى عَلَى رَأْسِي. One day when I was carrying those day stones on my head, while I was walking carrying it, لقيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ومعه نفر من الأنصار فدعاني ثم قال اخ ليحملني خلفه. She said that one day while I was carrying those day stones, I met the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, and there were some Ansari men with him, and he called me and he said اخ to the camel, to cause his camel to kneel down so that I might ride on his camel behind him. فَاسْتَحْيَيْتُ أَنْ أَصِيرَ مَعَ الرِّجَالِ. But I was too shy to go with the men. وَذَكَرْتُ الزُّبَيْرُ وَغَيْرَتَهُ. And I remembered the غَيْرَة of الزُّبَيْرُ, that he was very, very
يعني he had the consciousness or the sense of غيره, يعني feeling of concern for his wife, not exactly jealousy, but something like that. وكان أغلى الناس, and he was يعني more, he had this غيره more than most of the people. فعرف رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أني قد استحييت. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم knew that I was shy, فمضى. Then he just went on. فجئت الزبير فقلت له لقيني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى رأسي النوى وماه نفر من أصحابه فأناخ لأركب فاستحييت منه وأردت غيرتك. She said that I went to Az-Zubayr and I said to him that I met the Messenger of Allah, that I met the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I was carrying the big stones on my head, and his companions, a group of his companions were with him, and he caused his camel to kneel so that I may ride on it, and I was shy to do so, and I remembered your ghayrah. Az-Zubayr radiallahu anhu, her husband, he said to her, وَاللَّهِ لَحَمْلُكِ النَّوَى كَانَ أَشَدُّ عَلَيَّ مِنْ رُقُوبِكِ مَاهُ. The fact that you were carrying those 8 pounds on your head was worse for you to be seen in that condition than for you to ride with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She said, يعني this went on like this, her condition, carrying the 8 stones, making the dough, feeding the horse, taking care of the camel, all of the work that she was doing around the house, around that time, inside and outside, that continued. حَتَّى أَرْسَلَ إِلَيَّ أَبُو بَكْرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ بِخَادِمُ تَكْفِينِي سِيَافَةَ الْفَرْسِ فَكَأَنَّمَا أَعْتَقَنِي She said that this condition went on until Abu Bakr, her father, radiallahu anhu, sent to her a servant that freed her from the responsibility of taking care of the horse. And the end of the hadith, the words that she used here are very important, and it is really the important part that we want to really focus on. She said that that servant took care of the responsibility of the horse. فَكَأَنَّمَا أَعْتَقَنِي يعني it was as though she had been freed from slavery. The amount of work that she was doing, Asma bint Abi Bakr radiallahu anha, was such that when she was given a servant, it was as though she was being freed from slavery. That's the amount of work that she was doing. And some of the scholars said, so that it does not be misunderstood, that both her husband, Az-Zubayr, and her father, Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, radiallahu anhum, were both busy with the responsibilities of jihad and those things that they had been ordered to attend to by the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which for that period of time caused her to be in that condition where she had to work inside the house as well as out of the house to take care of those things that the family required. What we understand from this very, very clearly is that the best of women, the women of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the best of the men and their wives, the best of women, as well as the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that they worked in their homes and they served their husbands, then is anyone on such a high status that they are above such? They are our examples, the companions, the Sahaba, they are the examples for the men. And the women, companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are the examples for the women. So if it is clear that they did provide such services, and it was well known that these were the responsibilities of the women, then no one should feel above such. But in fact, they should be willing and happy, just as the man should be happy and pleased to serve his family and to work hard to take care of the needs of his wife and his children, so also the woman should be also pleased and happy to take care of the needs of her husband and her children. In closing, I just want to remind, and this is the last of the rights that I want to mention exclusively for the men, but we just want to keep things in focus. There's a hadith which Al-Bukhari narrated under the bab خِدْمَةَ الرَّجُلْ فِي أَهْلِهِ, يعني the service of a man, يعني the man's service of his family, his wife. That he, يعني the meaning of it is that the man serves his wife by even doing some things that he is capable of doing instead of leaving it for his wife to do, he may do it for herself. And this is the example of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was the best of men, the best of prophets and messengers, and it is well known that he used to take care of his own self. Many of his needs, while he was in the home, he would do for himself and not wait for his wives to do it for him. It has been reported by Al-Imam al-Bukhari and also in the Sunan of al-Tirmidhi, the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, when she was asked, مَا كَانَ نَبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَسْمِعُ فِي الْبَيْتِ. What did the Messenger of Allah, what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do while he was in the house? What were his activities in the house? Did he just lay around waiting to be served? Or was he also in the service of his family? Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, كَانَ يَكُونُ فِي مِهْنَةِ أَهْلِهِ. He used to be in the service of his family. He used to serve them. Even though it is the right of a man that his wife should serve him, but the example for us, لَقَدْ قَالَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Certainly the best example and the model for us is in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when his wife Aisha radiallahu anha was asked what did he used to do in the house, she said he used to be in the service of his family. فَإِذَا سَمِعَ الْأَذَانِ خَرَجَ. But if he heard the adhan, or when he heard the adhan, then he would go out and answer the call to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has also been reported in the Musnad of Al-Imam Ahmed and others on the authority of Aisha radiallahu anha, when she was asked, مَا كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَعْمَلْ فِي بَيْتِهِ. What did he used to do when he was in his house? And she said, كَانَ بَشَرًا مِنَ الْبَشَرِ. He was a human being. He was the Messenger of Allah, but he was a human being. يُفْلِي ثَوْبَهُ وَيَحْلِبْ شَاكَهُ وَيَخْدِمْ نَفْسَهُ. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, though he was the Messenger of Allah, he was the most honored and noble of the prophets and messengers. He was the best of humanity. He was Khalilullah, along with Ibrahim alayhi salam. He was also, as reported in the authentic hadith, Khalilullah, the beloved of Allah. And yet, in spite of that, he was the head of the nation. He was the head of the armies. He was everything for the Muslim ummah, and in spite of that, he was a human being. He used to mend his own clothes. He used to mend his own clothes. And he used to milk his own sheep. And he used to serve his own self. Not waiting to be served, but he used to serve himself. If he was in need of something, he would take care of it himself. So let us also remember, keep things in focus, that marriage is a mutual relationship, and it is expected that both sides should strive and compete with one another for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to serve one another, to serve our families for the sake of Allah, to build the true Islamic family and to make a successful marriage. It requires that each person should know their rights as well as their responsibilities. They are entitled to demand their rights, but they are also expected to freely fulfill the obligations of their families upon them. And they should seek to please one another for the pleasure of Allah and work hard for unity and cooperation in the home in order to build a peaceful and happy home and a place يعني, where peace and tranquility is the order of the day. يعني, not a home where there is always arguing and disputing, where no one wants to fulfill the rights of the other, but our homes should be the homes that are on the pattern of those who came before us, those who are our examples, that is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. Let us be humble, for whoever is humble, then Allah will raise him up, and whoever is proud, then Allah will humble him. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. إن شاء الله, just a few questions from the sisters before we leave. Assalamu alaikum. Is it permissible for Muslims to use Viagra or to seek other remedies for impotence such as acupuncture, etc.? Okay. لا حياة في العلم. There is no shyness in seeking knowledge. Whatever we need to know about our deen, about the law of Allah, in reference to personal, private, whatever, we should ask in order to know. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made us to know that we should not be too shy to ask. Whoever doesn't know, then the only way to know is to ask. I didn't know what is Viagra, but I imagine it's some kind of medication or something. In any case, is it permissible for Muslims to use it? I don't know. But we may use remedies for impotence for sure. As long as it isn't something that is haram or something that Allah has prohibited, some substance or some method or manner of acting that's prohibited in the Sharia. As for acupuncture, it is known to me. And as far as I know, it is perfectly permissible and it is a realistic alternative to modern medicine. Perhaps it is more effective and better than what the modern medicine has produced. As for Viagra, I don't know what it is, so leave that one. In any case, we are certainly allowed to use remedies. If we have any sickness, then we should seek cures for it. This is legislated in Islam, that a person should seek to cure whatever illnesses that they have. Also, for those who hold the opinion that it is not obligatory for the wife to provide service in the home, what are their proofs? they have some proofs also, but to be fair, we should not give them, we shouldn't do disservice to them by giving them a quick answer. But in any case, we can say that there are many scholars who held the opinion that either the woman is not obligated to do most of the things that women do in the home, but their opinion is not that the woman shouldn't do these things, but it's their opinion that it's not obligatory for the woman to do it. And they say, they use the same hadith, the same proof that we mentioned, but they interpret them a different way. The scholars who said that it's not obligatory for the woman to give such services in the home, they quote the hadith of Fatima, and they quote the hadith of Asma, and Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, rahimahullah, in Fath al-Bari, the explanation of Bukhari, quotes some of the sayings of some of those scholars, and he says that they said, quoting the same hadith as it was reported by al-Bukhari, that they said that the women, companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they performed such services voluntarily, yani, out of the goodness of their heart, not that it was obligatory. So there is the same evidence, but they just interpret it differently. And perhaps they have some other evidences that I don't recall at this moment, but perhaps we can refer you to some researches that have been done on this topic. There is a research that was done which is somewhat lengthy. A few years ago, it was published in Bashir magazine, and perhaps if we can locate that study, we may copy it and distribute for those that are interested to get a more detailed discussion of this particular issue that we have discussed this afternoon. What are light services? Sunnah khafifa. Light services those things that are easy, that are not difficult, that the woman doesn't find a hardship in doing. But I mean, specifically, in this day and time, people who are living in our society that we are living in now, in this time period, I imagine that light services would be washing the clothes with a washing machine. That's easy enough, right? Or washing the dishes with a dishwasher. Those are light services, inshallah. If that's not light, I don't know what is. As for heavy services, can't or shouldn't husbands hire helps for their wives if they can afford to? I mean, this is a really lengthy issue. As I said, inshallah, we will try to copy this research that was done, a lengthy, very lengthy research concerning this matter. Certainly, the husband, if he is able to provide whatever help he can provide for his wife to make the work that she does in the house easier for her, he should do so. Whether it's by buying her automatic washing machine, automatic dishwasher, electric vacuum cleaner, whatever he can provide for her, all of this he should do. As for providing her with a servant, well, personally, as far as I know, he is required to provide her with a servant if she is unable to do the work. But as far as I can see, the servant in the home, in the Muslim home, has created serious problems. And for that reason, it is better that whoever is not in need of such, they should avoid it. I wouldn't recommend that our brothers should provide their wives with servants, because if the servant is a man, it's a problem to have a man in your home who's a stranger. And if the servant is a woman, it's also a problem to have a woman in your home who's a stranger. And I think the matter is clear. It doesn't need a lengthy explanation why it's a problem. So this is an alternative that should be resorted to in case of necessity, and otherwise it's better to avoid it, and just to provide the woman who is capable of doing the work, the housework, to provide her with the things that make it easy for her, and even the man, he may help her himself, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. A working mother throughout her marriage life, if she is unable to fulfill her obligation in serving her husband, then she commit a sin. If her husband abuses, could she refuse her husband? Well, as for the first part of the question, if the woman is working, she is working voluntarily with the permission of her husband. Okay, this is something that they have agreed upon. First of all, the woman is not allowed to work without the permission of her husband. If he allows her to work, then he should be considerate enough to realize that while she is out working, just like he is out working, then she is tired. So when she comes home, she's tired, just like when he comes home, he's tired. So that should be a big consideration, and he should look at that and try to make whatever facility is possible, if he allows her to work, to make the work at home easy for her, so that she doesn't work outside and then work inside also. That's not fair. Also, from the side of the woman, if she desires to work, and if she doesn't have to work, so that means if she is working, it's by her own desire and her will. If she desires to work and her husband requires her to do housework around the house, then she's still required to do it, because she's not required to go out of the house and work. She's required to work in the house. If she goes out, that's something she's doing voluntarily, and it doesn't excuse her from her household responsibilities. But of course, as I said, the husband should consider, if he allows his wife to go out and work, he should consider that when she goes out and work, she's tired, just like he's tired. So that, there has to be mutual understanding, consideration, and cooperation between two people who are married to one another. They are not like two strangers or two partners in a business who, may have different interests. But a married couple, they have the same interests. They are part of one another. They are part of the same family. They are part of the same unit. Their goals and objectives are the same. They are striving for the same thing and working for the same thing. So they should be working together. As for the last part of the question, if the husband abuses her, could she refuse her husband in bed? I don't understand exactly by abuse what do you mean. If you mean if her husband beats her unjustly and unfairly and beyond the bounds of what Islam allows, or if he abuses her mentally by saying things to her or treating her in a way that's un-Islamic, I don't know which do you mean, mental abuse, physical abuse, or some other kind of abuse. In any case, if he abuses her in any way, this is injustice And Allah will call him to account for it Yawm al-Qiyamah. If he is not called to account for it in this world by the law of the land, or if the Sharia is implemented, if he is not called to account for it in this world, for sure he will answer before Allah. There is no escape from that. And the woman, she should know that whatever rights he has over her are not cancelled by him committing an act of disobedience to Allah or a sin or doing something abusive to her. It doesn't mean now she is excused from her responsibilities to him, but she is still required to obey him. She is still required to obey him, even in spite of the fact that he might abuse her. And I don't recall the exact wording, but the Prophet ﷺ said in the authentic hadith that the meaning of it is that when he was asked about the rulers who would give preference to themselves over the people, that is, they would take their position of leadership or rulership in the society to take things more for themselves and hold back the rights of the people, the Prophet ﷺ was asked, "What shall we obey such rulers?" And he said, "Fulfill their rights and seek your rights from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." And this is the same instruction that we say to the women, that if the ruler in the house gives preference to himself and doesn't give you your rights, you still should fulfill the rights of your husband and seek your rights from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah is sufficient for us. Are there any comments or questions or corrections from the brothers before we leave? This is the end of the questions of the sisters.
To have implantation?
I have no knowledge whatsoever about this. This is my first time hearing such a thing. I don't know really. No. No. Well, on the surface it sounds good. يعني, if there is no Shari or legal prohibition from having some kind of implantation or something for the man who is impotent in order to be able to fulfill the marital rights that are upon him. If there is some kind of implantation or operation or something that can be done in order to improve his situation, to enable him to function properly in reference to the marital relations, then it seems as though it's okay. But of course, I don't know exactly what's the details of this type of operation and what are the things that are related to it to be able to discuss it. But perhaps it would be more proper for a medical expert, a doctor who knows about the medical procedures, who has knowledge of the Sharia, to answer such a question. I don't feel fit to answer the question. I don't know, but I can only say on the surface, the general rule or the basic principle is that he should do whatever he can do that's within the bounds of the law to fulfill the obligations that are upon him or to fulfill the rights that his wife has over him. Whatever is within the law, if there is no objection in the law, then he should do it. He should make every effort to, he should be considerate and do whatever he can do in order to correct the situation or to improve the situation. But I don't really know about this procedure. Medically, I don't know what it entails. According to what you said here, it sounds like it's, perhaps it's permissible, but I don't know to say for sure. No. The meaning is that when a man wants to have sexual relations with his wife, he should proceed to prepare for such relations psychologically and physically by doing those things, foreplay, which are done before actual sexual intercourse. Being kind to her means to precede the actual sexual intercourse by other things that lead up to it in order to be psychologically or physically prepared for the sexual intercourse. This is generally the meaning of it.
Well, I wanted to ask a question. The sister also practices. abusive predator.
Mm.
You know, if he's abusing her, then he's got to keep his act up. So
he's a mess. No. Any other comment or question?
Any other questions?
Make it more clear, please, what you mean. I'm sorry, but so it will be clear. I didn't know.
That, you know, the husband used to. He gets some satisfaction by.
Whoa! He gets sexual satisfaction by inflicting pain on his wife? This is a sickness. That person should be, requires attention. This is, you understand from this question, that's what it means? Okay, she should fulfill the rights of her husband in the way that Allah has legislated, not in some abnormal or deviant way of a sick person, in the normal way that Allah has legislated. If it is some abnormal way, then she shouldn't comply with that which is abnormal or outside of the law of Islam. Yeah, of course, if there is such a case, it should be reported to the authorities and it should be dealt with. You mentioned that the wife should protect home, children, and guest. How does one protect the latter, the guest? Well, I don't think I meant to say that she should protect the guest, meaning physically protect them. But I mean, actually, the wording, I was reading from the Arabic text, and I was translating as I was reading. So, have, I said protect, but it doesn't only mean to protect something physically. So, maybe the meaning of the word here is different. To protect the home, have al bayt, have al awlad, have al din is different. It's not the same. But in terms of the guest, it means, and Allah knows best, it means to give attention to them, to care for them, to fulfill the rights that the guests have over you when they are your guests. If you have guests in your house, what are you supposed to do for them? This is what it means. It doesn't mean that if somebody breaks in the house, you're required to physically protect them. It doesn't mean that. It means protection. Here it doesn't mean protection. It means to fulfill or to protect their rights, the rights that guests have over you. That means you should fulfill their rights. That's the meaning here. Okay, that's the end of the questions. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.